V'lo echad kiguf haposhut, nor is it one single constituent, one single ingredient, but ha'echad b'minyan is one numerically, shemekabel hafrada v'chaluka ad ein sof, but you could subdivide it. You can have a single piece of wood, but you can subdivide that piece of wood more or less ad infinitum. Elohu yisala HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may he be exalted. Echad ba'achdus she'en kamosa achdus b'shem panim. V'zeh yisod ha'sheni hu shehove olav ba'omel. And this second fundamental principle of belief is what the Torah teaches us in the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So generally we summarize the Yisod Hasheni as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness, his unity. And that's certainly correct, but it doesn't capture everything that that we just read here in the Rambam. To sort of help us elicit and recognize what the Rambam taught us in this Yisod. So let's just read a line or two together, again from the beginning of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, where the Rambam also presents this fundamental belief. Eloka zeh, again, if you happen to have a Rambam on hand, I'm reading in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. If you don't, that's okay. We're only reading a couple of lines. Eloka zeh echad hu, eino lo shnayim v'lo yeser shnayim. He's neither two, nor is he more than two. Elo echad, rather an echad, she'em ki yichudo echad min ha'achadim ha'nimtzom ba'olam. But an echad that there's nothing comparable, there's nothing else of which you can predicate one or oneness the way it's predicated of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing else can be described as one in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as one. Now, the clue here that the Rambam provides, that, again, that there's, to make sure we recognize that there's a depth here, what the Rambam says, again, I'm rereading this first line, again, the first line that we just read here from Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Eloka ze echad hu, eino lo shnayim v'lo yeser shnayim. Moshe l'ma adov adoma, to sort of help us recognize the seeming strangeness of that formulation, what will be if I ask you to go to the grocery store and I say, please buy me 1 quart of milk. And then I say, not 2 quarts of milk and not more than 2 quarts of milk, 1 quart of milk. So you'll rightfully suspect me of being a little bit, I don't know, obsessive or heavy-handed. If I say one, so then obviously by definition, I mean not two, and I certainly mean not more than two. So you said one. It's clear that you don't mean two or more than two. But listen to the way the Rambam describes this. Elokazeh, this God, this Ribono Shel Olam, of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in the Perush Mishnayos of the first fundamental principle of belief, Eloka ze echad hu, eino lo shnayim v'lo yeser shnayim. Ha'apela? I want 1 quart of milk, not 2 quarts of milk, not more than 2 quarts of milk. Okay, you said 1 quart of milk. Relax. 1 quart of milk means 1 quart of milk. What is the Rambam telling us? It's at the risk of a tautology. The Rambam is telling us something profound. Okay, that's always the case. The Rambam is telling us something profound. In the mashal that we gave with the 1 quart of milk, the reason it's totally superfluous to say not two, not more than two, is that it's clear what was said. I want 1 quart of milk. That's a totally complete, defined, coherent thought, and it's totally, totally unnecessary once I've said one to say not two. The Rambam here is alluding to the fact that our knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the following sense. On the one hand, we have the most absolute, clearest knowledge and grasp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know there's a Ribon Shel Olam who created the world, who exercises a hashkocha in general, in particular. We see it in the miraculous course of Jewish history. We know there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave us the Torah. We know him. We know of his existence. There's nothing a person can know with greater clarity. There's no truth that a person can grasp more clearly. So on the one hand, we know, absolutely. On the other hand, and we need to try to grasp this. On the other hand, if you think about it, everything we just said were descriptions of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. They were descriptions of his actions. If someone will ask us to define his, capital H, essence, so then the answer is silence. The only correct answer is silence. You know, this is the joke about the little kid. So he's coloring at home. So his mother asks him, what's he doing? So he says he's coloring a picture of God. So she says that no one knows what God looks like. He says, when I finish, they will. So leaving the joke aside, the only correct answer, that are other answers that people give, as in the joke, but the only correct answer, we don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. We can't define his essence. We can't define his existence as clearly and as compellingly as we know of his existence, as clearly and compellingly as we see his handiwork, as we're surrounded by his handiwork, and as clearly and as compellingly we know and experience his hashgacha, his divine providence. But that doesn't allow us to know him in terms of being able to describe his essence. A human being, you can describe, you can define the human being, what it means biologically. You can define what it means in terms of the human being has a soul. You can define what a human being is. You can define what vegetation is. You can give a definition, and which family of plant, etc. Not just sort of what it does, not just how it grows, but you can define the essence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one thing we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he's above and beyond our categories of thought. And a point, Rosai. Too often, we're prone, it's tempting, it's understandable, but too often, we're prone to the following mistake. to conceive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in superhuman terms. Too often we sort of extrapolate from ourselves and our own existence, and in terms of that, we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, we are mortal. We live so many years. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives forever. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. He's omniscient. We have certain abilities, certain capacities. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. He can do anything and everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a superman. That's albeit we don't necessarily associate the cape, but that's how we are tempted and perhaps at times do think of him. But the Rambam makes a point of underscoring, again, just to read a little bit from the beginning of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, if you happen to have it on hand, you can take a look at the very beginning of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah. Yisod is the foundation of all foundations, the pillar which upholds all wisdom, all disciplines, all branches of knowledge. Leida sheyesham motzi rishon, to know that there is again this eternal existent being, v'humantzikol nimtza. He is the source of existence for everything else that exists. He, in his absolute, independent existence, he gives existence to everything else which is contingent and dependent. And then the Rambam says, I'm skipping a couple of halachos, but at the end of halacha gimel, the Rambam says, lefichach, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is his own, absolute, independent, and what we have is some kind of dependent, contingent existence, one which doesn't have to be here, one which wouldn't impact or detract from HaKadosh Baruch Hu if it weren't present. L'fichach, here, let's hear the next five words. Ein amitaso ka'amitas echad mehen. The reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unlike the reality of anything else. So it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we live for 70 or 80 or God willing, longer. But there is a terminus ad quem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives forever. And we know so much, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omniscient. No, all of that is, again, thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a superman, as superhuman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally sui generis, totally unique, unlike anything else. And as clearly and compellingly and absolutely as we know him through his actions, that's how, to the same degree, we are clueless in terms of his essence. Now, we asked, what does the Rambam mean when he tells us, Eloka ze echad hu, lo shnayim v'lo yasar shnayim? The answer is, if you say one, but you don't have a noun after the one that defines it, so what does one mean? And the difference between what the Rambam says and the mashal we gave is the following. In the mashal, so the mashal is, please buy me one quart of milk. So I defined the one. I didn't say, please buy me one. That doesn't tell you anything. I said, please buy me one quart of milk. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, so we have these words that we use to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, whatever, in whatever language. But at the end of the day, in terms of his essence, he remains unknowable and undefined. We know of him, we know his actions, we experience his actions, and we know of him in the most absolute, primary, compelling, clear sense imaginable. But to know him, his essence, we don't. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. He's one what? You can't finish that sentence. So the Rambam says by saying one, we can't even say one what. What we mean is that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no multiplicity. That's what we mean by saying one. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness doesn't just mean, let's say when you have a desktop. So you say the desktop is made out of one piece of wood. Not two pieces of wood together, it's one piece of wood. But sometimes we use, again, this is just, no mashal is an adequate mashal. Sometimes we use the word one and we say, oh, so-and-so is one of a kind. He's in a class by himself. When you use one in that context, so it means something more than just one when you say, oh, the desktop is one piece of wood. When you say someone is one of a kind in the sense that he's in a class by himself, what you're saying is that he's unique. The oneness and uniqueness, those two concepts are intertwined and are blended together. And the correct summation of the Yesod HaSheni is not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness or unity. The correct summation of the Yesod HaSheni is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's uniqueness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's absolute uniqueness. Now the truth is the Rambam did spell this out in the Perush Mishnayos also. The Rambam says at the end, after you make your way through Yud Gimel Korim, the Rambam says if you learned this once, I think he says even if you learned it 10 times and you think you understood it adequately, so you're fooling yourself. So we read it once, But towards the end of this paragraph, the Rambam says, Elohu yis'ala echad v'achtos she'en kamosa achtos b'shem ponim. He's one in a unique, absolutely unique and singular sense. So the second yesod, again, is not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, but is unique. Echad yachad u'meyuchad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says kaviyachol, that when we affirm the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol says atem asisuni chativa achaz ba'olam. You have made me unique. Chativa achaz ba'olam. You made me something unique through that affirmation. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad Yachad Miyuchad. He's one and unique. Unique and therefore one. Now, if you want to see something of just the incredible wisdom and precision in the Rambam, this is unbelievable. But take a look at this. Go back to the Yesod HaRishon. If you have the text in front of you, Rabbi Osai, take a look at the Yesod HaRishon. The first line, HaYesod HaRishon Mitzias HaBore, the existence of the Creator. And then the Rambam adds the honorific or the Tefillah Yishtabach. May he be praised. The Yesod HaSheni is Achduso Yis'ale. May he be exalted. How did the Rambam change it? Because in English Comp 101, he was told, you know, you don't use the same word too often. People are going to get bored, so you have to spice things up. Maybe, if you have the same English Comp teacher, but maybe. So it's half like a fella. When we first are introduced to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Yesod HaRishon, we're being told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, as we discussed last week, that he is existence. The only, what's appropriate at that point is Yishtabach. What does the Yesod HaSheni teach us? The Yesod HaSheni teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. So the Rambam's tefillah is Yis'aleh, may he be exalted. May we recognize that uniqueness. And may his And may he be exalted above all human categories of thought that are adequate for everything else, but totally inadequate for him. In the context of talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's uniqueness, there you can say, Yisraelet. That's the appropriate thing. May he be exalted. Maybe he exalted above any comparison, above any Rahman al-Tzlan straitjacketing within ever human categories of thought. That's why even within the Yesod HaRishon, the Rambam shifted. In the Yesod HaRishon, in the opening line, Metzias HaBori Yishtavach. When you read that line, so all we understand at that point is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. It's premature to talk about may he be exalted. But after the Rambam explains to us that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence means is not just that he exists, but that he alone exists because he is existence. And everything else, he exists with a capital E, and everything else exists with a lowercase e. So even though he hasn't yet, again, underscored uniqueness as he's going to in Yisrael HaSheni, but once he tells you that already, he says that Ilu Yochalnu L'Sha'er Sila Kanimtzorim Kulam Zulah. So this is in the Yisrael HaRishon. If we could imagine that everything else in the world would cease to exist, Lohoisa Betela Mitziuso, his existence would be unaffected. Yis Allah, may he be exalted. Because already here, even though the Rambam is gonna spell this out with specificity as its own yesod, but already here the kernel of the uniqueness is there. Just half like a fella, the precision of the Lashonos in the Rambam. And that's why Achduso Yisaleh, may he be exalted above, again, those anthropomorphic limitations that we impose, Rachman al-Tzlan, on him. Let's begin at least with the Yisod HaShlishi. HaYisod HaShlishi, Shlilas HaGashmas Mimenu. When speaking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to negate any type of corporeality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incorporeal. He's not physical. Vuhu, what does that mean? Sheha'echad hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this one God whom we've met, as it were, in the first two yesodos, the first two fundamental principles of belief, eino guf v'lo koch v'guf. He's not a body, nor is he some kind of physical force which inheres in a body. And as such, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical in any sense whatsoever, lo ye'oru lo ma'oros ha'gufim, anything which is a function of physicality doesn't relate, doesn't pertain to him. Kigon, what are some examples of things that are a function of physicality? Kigon hatznu'a v'hamenucha, to be motion or at rest. A physical body can be described as either at motion or at rest. Lo mitzad ho'etzem v'lo b'mikra. Neither is it sort of an essential trait that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always at rest or always at motion, nor is it accidental that he's at rest or at motion. The whole category doesn't apply. HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't physical. You can't ask, if you're not talking about a color, you can't say what color is it. What color is only when you're talking, if you're talking about an idea. I had an idea to solve one of the riddles of physics. And someone asked me, well, what color is it? Is it blue or green? Ideas are not, they're not physical. They're not blue, they're not green. What's not physical, so anything which is a function of physicality doesn't apply. L'chein sholalu mimenu aleim ha-sholam esachibu v'apirud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't is not connected to anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not separated from anything. Connection and separation, again, are physical states. V'omru lo yeshiva v'lo amida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one can't talk about posture. Posture, again, is a predicate of physicality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is neither sitting nor is he standing. Lo oref v'lo ipoy. What does oref and ipoy mean in this context? So the way the Rambam understands it is koma lo pirud, not separation, v'hu oref v'lo chibo, not connection. Ki ipoy min omer v'ofu b'kosei plishtim. Koma yitchefu osam b'kosei machmas hischabim b'hem. V'oma ha-navi v'el nisa damyun kel. The Navi Yishayel says, to whom, to what can you compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Then the Navi says, speaking in the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ve'el misa damyuni ve'eshve, to whom can you compare me that I would resemble in any sense? Says the Rambam, Ve'ilu ha'yaguf, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were physical, ha'yadoma l'gufim, there would be resemblance. But don't we find in Chumash anthropomorphic descriptions? These descriptions which the Rambam tells us do not pertain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't we find such descriptions in the Chumash? And whatever you'll find in Tanakh describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, in physical terms, Kigon ha-halicha mimokom lemokom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as going from one place to another. Vayered Hashem liros ha-sa'ir v'samigdol asher bonu b'nei Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu descended. Vayal me'olav elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ascended. V'ho'amida v'ha-yeshiva v'ha-dibu v'chayotze bozeh. Speech means with the vocal cords, with the larynx. Kulam hein derech hash'ala, u'kumosh sha'amu dibra Torah kelshon b'nei Adam. They're all metaphoric usages. None of them are intended literally. They're all intended metaphorically. Okay, that's the Yisod HaShlishi. Let's begin. Maybe we'll have time to complete it. I'm not sure. But the Yisod HaShlishi, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incorporeal. In the context of the Yisod HaShlishi, there is a very, very famous dispute. Again, not about the Yisod HaShlishi, in the context of the Yisod HaShlishi. Let's try to be very precise here. Again, the dispute that we're about to review is not about the Yisod HaShlishi, it's in the context of the Yisod HaShlishi. The Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva describes in Halacha Zayin that Chamesh Shehein HaNikra Iminim. There are five people who should be identified and referred to as heretics. The first one is Ha'omesh She'en Shom Eloka Ve'en Lo Manhig, an atheist. The second is Ha'omesh She'yesh Shom Manhig Aval Hem Shnayim El Yeser, a polytheist. The third is Ha'omesh She'yesh Shom Ribon Echad. No, he's a monotheist on some level. Elashahu Guf U'Bal Tmuna. But he believes in a corporeal God. He believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical. So on this, the Ravid comments, I'm sorry, I forgot to take it out. Just excuse me one second. On this, the Ravid comments, "V'loma kara lozem min." Why did the Rambam designate this individual who thinks HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical as a heretic? Kamo Gedolim V'Tovim Mimenu, many prominent good people amongst us, Holchu V'Zohar Machshava, erroneously believed this. L'fi Masha Ro'u B'Mikraos, they were misled by the literal translation of Psukim, the Yoser, and even more, they were confused. The Agodas of Chazal, which when a person doesn't understand what the metaphor is intended to convey, and a person just reads Agadata and understands it literally, so then the Agodas are Hameshabshos as Hadeos, which confuse belief. So let's try to clarify here what exactly is the dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid. So the first, and again, all of the points that we're going to discuss here are very, very crucial, I will say. The first point is that the Ravid does not disagree in terms of belief with what the Rambam is saying. The Ravid does not Chas v'shalom, putting forth a corporeal conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the Ravid is not telling us that he, Rachmanu Litzlan, believes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical. What the Ravid says is, of course, you, Rabbeinu Moshe, are correct that it's minus, that it's heresy. The belief is a heretical belief to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical, but if the person innocently stumbles into that belief, why do you brand him a heretic? So the belief is as wrong as can be. The belief is heretical, but the person who stumbles innocently into that belief, because he looks at Chumash and it says, Vayelech Hashem, Hashem went. So he imagines a physical God moving from one location to another location. And then he looks at all these Agaratim Chazal. He opens his Ein Yaakov. He looks at all the Agaratim Chazal, and he gets himself all confused. The fact that he stumbles into a heretical belief shouldn't brand him a heretic. So the first point to be clearly understood is that there's absolutely no difference of opinion as to what the correct belief is, that there's a consensus omnium as to what the correct traditional Jewish belief is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical, he's not incorporeal. The question is, if someone erroneously believes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical because he took Psukim Chumash literally, he took Agadat and Chazal literally, does that brand him a heretic? Okay. Point number one. Now, popularly, this dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid is described and summarized as follows. That the Rambam says, even if a person is mistaken about one of the Yesodos HaEmunah, he's a heretic. And the Ravid says, no. If it's an honest mistake, even though the belief is heresy, he's not to be classified as a heretic. And this is the dispute. This is the point of contention between the Rambam and the Ravid. What happens if a person subscribes to heretical beliefs, b'shogeg? So this is actually wrong on both counts, on both scores. You know, there's an old Yiddish joke about the person who was so ingenious that he knew how to spell Noach mit sieben Greisen. He knew how to spell the name Noach with seven mistakes. That's like a challenge. Maybe see if you can figure that one out. How can you make seven mistakes in spelling a two-word name? Okay, so Mamisha, there's goyness in all areas. So the emphasis is that this doesn't quite rise to the same level, but it's not a correct summation of either the Rambam or the Ravid. Let's begin with the Ravid. In this very halacha, that the Rambam lists five people who are classified as heretics. Of the five, the Ravid only commented on one of the five. The Ravid has no defense and is not looking to somehow or other remove that designation as heretic from the other four. Right? The Rambam began with the person who Rachman Hassan is an atheist. And then the Rambam said the person who's a polytheist. Then he has the person who's a corporealist, who believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical. And then he says a person who, excuse me, HaOmesh Eino Levado Rishon V'Tzua LaKol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't the source of everything else that exists. And then the idolater. Of these five, the Ravid only registered a disagreement in about one of the five. So it's not accurate to say that the Ravid thinks that every example of heresy, if the person says it just because he's mistaken, the belief is heresy, but he's not a heretic. No, the Ravid said it about this one isolated case. On the other hand, the Rambam himself also concedes that sometimes there is a defense and a person can subscribe to a heretical belief and yet not be classified as a heretic. My grandfather, Zichron Levracha, called attention to this. If you take a look in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Shchita, so the Rambam is two halachos, almost back to back with the one intervening halacha. In the first of the two halachas, the Rambam says, if a person is a min, a heretic, v'hu akofer b'Torah b'Moshe Rabbeinu, he denies the Torah, which means, again, either the written Torah or the oral Torah, either Torah Shebichtav or Torah Shebaalpeh, denies that Moshe Rabbeinu was the faithful go-between, the faithful messenger who faithfully, without adding or detracting anything, just communicated Dvar Hashem to us. If a person is a min, Ru HaKofe B'Torah B'Moshe Rabbeinu K'Moshe Rabbeinu Nechaz Tshuva, so Harehu K'Goy U'Shtitaso Nevela. So categorically, L'Chumra, that person is treated as a non-Jew, and the same way, if a non-Jew shechs, the Shechita doesn't allow one to eat from it, the same is true for a Kofer B'Torah. Okay, that's Halacha Yud Dalet. Right around the corner in Halacha Tes Zayin, the Rambam says, Elu Hatztukin V'Habaisusin, Karaites, right? B'mei Chazal, that they were referred to as Tztukim and Baisusim, and then at a later point in history, they were referred to as Karaim, as Karaites. Says the Rambam, I'm skipping a line, Im Shachtu B'Fanenu, if they shecht, if they perform the shechita in our presence, so that we can see whether or not the shechita was executed properly, harezu mutaras. What do you mean harezu mutaras? It's still given by susim, a kofim batora. And you, Rabbeinu Moshe, just told us that if a person is kofim batora, harezu kegoi, by virtue of the fact that he's a min, that he's a heretic, it's as if, l'chumra, it's as if he's a non-Jew, and that therefore his shechita automatically is totally, categorically invalid, even if technically it was executed perfectly. And now you're telling us that if we saw the tztuk of the Karaites, if we see a Karaite do shechita, we can't trust him to shecht if we're not there, because he doesn't really believe in Hilchos Shechita. But if we oversee the Shechita, and we see that it was executed technically properly, so then the Shechita is Ksheira. How are those two statements to be reconciled? Where's the consistency? So my grandfather says, that Tztukim and Baisusim, the Rambam's talking about, they're not first-generation heretics, there were people who were brought up and brainwashed on that belief. And clearly, this is the Rambam, right? This is the Rambam who didn't cut any slack for the person who thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is corporeal. He is cutting slack for those who innocently make a mistake about the fundamentals of belief regarding to the Torah. So that's what we said before, the statement that the Ravid says a mistake in Emunah doesn't make someone a kofar. And the Rambam says that a mistake in Emunah does make someone a kofar. There's not seven mistakes in that statement, but there are two mistakes compressed into that statement. The Ravid doesn't justify everything. He says this specific error, which a person can be lulled into by learning Chumash and Agadita literally, he meant well, and he sat down and he learned Chumash, and he meant well, and he opened his Ein Yaakov. The person sincerely stumbled into this because that literal, erroneous understanding led him into it. That the Ravid says, even though the belief is heresy, but he's not a heretic. And the Rambam doesn't disagree with that in other contexts, but in this context, he doesn't subscribe to it. Why not? Why doesn't he accept the Ravid's defense? We see that he accepted the defense of the Karaites who are brainwashed. The Rambam says their belief is heresy, but they're not heretics. So why didn't he accept the Ravid here? So the emphasis that the Rambam himself tells us in the Morah. And what he says is absolutely remarkable. I'm just going to read you a couple of lines. Lachain, again, the Rambam wrote this in Judeo-Arabic, and my Judeo-Arabic is a little bit rusty at the moment, so I'm reading it from a Hebrew translation. Lachain ein tziduk. There's no justification. L'mi she'eno mekabel mi ba'aleho emez ba'aleho iyun im ein hu misugo li'iyun. Rambam's talking here, again, both about the mistake of idolatry as well as the mistake of thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical, that he's corporeal. He says, and now listen to this. This is incredible. Ki eini ro'eh kofer b'mi she'eno mochiach hochocha moftis ashlilas agashmos. Rambam says something which is so incredibly powerful. The Rambam says, I have no expectation, the Torah had no expectation, that every Jew is going to be a philosopher. He says, I have no expectation, because the Torah had no expectation, that every Jew can necessarily reason for himself or herself that it cannot be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical. And he says, no one is going to be criticized for not having greater abilities than they actually have. No one, if a person doesn't have the philosophical acumen or temperament, he's not going to be held accountable for lacking that. But you know what the Rambam says there's no defense for? Rambam says there's no defense for a person not recognizing his or her own limitations and deferring to those who know better. And the reason the Rambam rejects the Ravid's defense of the person who learned Chumash and decided for himself, well, the Torah is clearly describing a physical God, so apparently the Ribbono Shel Olam is physical. The reason, and Chazal, aren't they certainly doing that? The reason the Rambam rejects that defense is the Rambam says a person is not obligated to be a philosopher. He's not obligated to have philosophical acumen or to have a philosophical temperament. But a person is obligated to know his or her own limitations. And a person should know what he's capable of knowing and figuring out for himself or herself. as opposed to what's beyond one's ability. And that's why there's no defense. It's no defense to say, I learned the Chumash and I understood such and such. Because the answer is, the answer that will be addressed to me is, well, you should have been aware of your own limitations. You're not being held responsible for having limitations, but as Baruch Hu gave each of us his or her own abilities, skill set. No one's being held responsible for having more than for not having more than they're given. But we are held responsible for not recognizing our own limitations. And that's the Rambam's response to the Ravid. You know why I don't give this person a pass? Because this person should have sought out those who know better. So just to summarize, as we conclude, so the third of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikar is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incorporeal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. And as such, again, anything which is a function of physicality doesn't pertain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ravid agrees 1,000%. The Ravid does disagree that if a person innocently subscribes to that heretical belief, we should not grant him as an individual a heretic. And the Rambam says, but if that person could have availed himself of correct instruction and correct guidance, then we do hold the person responsible for not being aware and cognizant of his or her own limitations. Okay, so we'll stop here for tonight, Rav Ossai. Thank you very much. Everyone should be well, be safe.